Let's say hello to Terry Flanagan, who's at his home in Dublin 15. Terry, this week's report has to do with the Science Festival.
Yes, indeed, Derek. For a number of years now, the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies have hosted an annual science festival. This year, the theme has been Samhain Agus Science. And for the last 2 weeks or so, they've been giving lectures on a wide range of topics. One that has caught my eye is a talk that's on tomorrow night at their offices on Merrion Square. It's entitled, Fin Whale Whispers Beneath Your Feet. Recently, I met with Professor Chris Bean from the Institute, and he explained some of the research being undertaken in monitoring these whale sounds around our coastline.
So DIAS is the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies, and it was established in 1940 by Eamon de Valera. As some people may remember, Eamon de Valera had a big interest in science, and particularly in mathematics. And back in the early 1940s, I guess he thought that we could do with some additional science capacity or capability in the country. So he knew about the Princeton Institute for Advanced Studies, and he decided to set up an institute in Ireland that was modelled on the structure of the Princeton Institute for Advanced Studies, and that became the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies.
And of course, what he needed at the time was, he needed a big wig, so to speak. He needed a big name to come in and to run it, and he certainly got one.
He did. He managed to get Erwin Schrödinger, who was a world-famous physicist at the time and had already held a Nobel Prize, to come and be the first director of the School of Theoretical Physics at DIAS. So at the time, that was quite a coup.
Really, De Valera, he had great foresight, hadn't he? Because he saw that the sciences were beginning to dip here in Ireland, and he wanted to bring them back to their former glory.
He did. I guess at the time, there wasn't really that much money in the country, and some people weren't really in favour of setting up such an organisation back in 1940. But he persevered, and he could see that, you know, science was going to be really important to Ireland in the future. And as we can see now, a lot of what we do is based on our scientific abilities in the country. So I think his vision was right on target.
And DIAS has been very successful. I know for the last number of years you've been running these annual lectures for the public, Samhain Agus Science. Tell me a bit about those.
Yeah, so they're a fun lecture series, Samhain Agus Science, at this time of the year, close to Halloween. And the idea is just to open up the type of research that's going on here at the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies, to make it accessible to the public, to bring people in, to have a bit of fun, to enjoy the science with a kind of Halloween theme. So that's the basic idea behind the series, and we hold that series annually.
And the last lecture of the series is one I'm certainly looking forward to. It's called Whale Whispers Under Your Feet. Tell me a little bit about that.
This is work that I've been doing here with Martin Mulhoff here at DIAS. Normally, when we want to detect whale song, we put what are called hydrophones in the water. And these instruments are able to detect small pressure changes in the water, which can detect song, sound, and other types of noise in the water. But one of the things that we discovered recently is that seismometers, which are normally deployed on land and used for detecting earthquakes, are able to detect near-coastal fin whale song. And this came as a huge surprise to us.
And fin whales, they're huge whales, and they're extremely loud.
Yes, they're the second largest animal on Earth, and their vocalizations, their song, is extremely loud, way, way louder than a jet engine. They're one of the loudest animal vocalizations. So what we realized is happening is that the whales are singing in the water. The sound is going through the seafloor, traveling in the ground and coming onto land, and it's then detectable by these ground vibration sensors, or seismometers, as they're called, that are normally used for actually detecting earthquakes.
That's incredible, because when I think of whale song and whale sound, I think of somebody standing on a boat somewhere out in the middle of the ocean, and they dropping a hydrophone over the back of the boat, and they listen to the sound coming through the water. But what you're doing is you're detecting the sound through the seabed and coming right up onto land.
Absolutely, that's exactly what we're detecting. And these whales could be up to a couple of kilometres offshore, and we can still detect them 2 or 3 or 4 kilometres inland. So when you think about this, it really brings up some exciting prospects. You can imagine in your house, If you live in the coastal zone, fin whale starts to sing offshore. As soon as that fin whale starts to sing, your house is actually vibrating with whale song.
It's not.
It is. The point is that the song is a whisper. That's why we call it the talk of whisper. It's not very loud. And the other thing is it's at about what's called 20 hertz. That's kind of the frequency of it, which is just at the detection level of the human ear in terms of very low pitch sounds. So you can't hear it with your ear. But if we go to your house, put one of these seismic sensors in your living room or beside your kitchen table, we can actually detect this whale song.
You don't need to put the actual detector into the ground. You can put it on the table or on the floor.
If you've got a good solid floor, it can be put on the floor. And if nobody's jumping around, then you can actually hear these sounds or to feel these ground vibrations. For me, there's a kind of a poetic beauty to it. So you're coming to your breakfast table with your family, and if a whale starts to sing offshore, your entire house, your chair, your table, everything is vibrating with whale song. You don't know it because it's very, very weak and it's just below your hearing range. But in some ways, the whales are talking to you from offshore as you're having your breakfast.
That's incredible. I suppose the next thing you're going to see for Christmas presents will be detectors like bat detectors, but they'll be whale detectors. And you'll give it to someone as a Christmas present and they'll put it on their kitchen table. And while they're having breakfast, they can listen to whale song miles away.
That is possible. In fact, we actually run a program. It's called Quake Shake, and it's a citizen science program. And with that, one can buy very small ground vibration detectors, and people install them in their homes. So maybe that's something people would like to try.
And why would they be installing them in their homes?
Well, normally people who are interested in earthquakes or general ground shaking problems might buy some of these small detectors and install them in their homes. But what I'm saying is that if you happen to live in the coastal zone with the, say, particularly on the south coast here where we do have fin whales, you will see fin whale calls on those detectors.
From listening to these fin whales, what have you discovered?
Well, one of the things that we've realized is that this is another potential way of actually monitoring the populations of whales. They have particular whale song calls, and some of those calls can be used for stock identification, for example. It is very difficult technically to put hydrophones in the water to stream that data in real time back to some laboratory. The ocean is a very harsh environment. Equipment breaks. It's very expensive. So being able to put detectors in the coastal zone on land reduces the cost, reduces the risk. So it gives us another angle into being able to monitor these creatures. The other thing I should say is that we found this in Ireland, but of course we got curious then and we started looking at other detectors around the world. So we also found the same song, types of songs in Iceland, in the North Atlantic. In the Mediterranean, we found them on stations in Monaco. In the Pacific, we found them on stations in Mexico. And then we also looked in the Southern Ocean and we found them on seismic stations in the Antarctic Peninsula. So this is a global phenomenon that really hasn't been identified until now. And we think it's a very exciting new development, perhaps, for monitoring whales in the coastal zone.
And of course, DIAS has a number of these detectors already in situ because you monitor for earthquakes. So you don't have to go and buy new equipment. It's there and working already. You're just looking for something different from the results.
That's absolutely right. We were able to see this on some of our earthquake detectors that are there already. And DIAS runs the Irish National Seismic Network. So yes, we do already have this type of equipment in the ground. However, these detections are only within about 5 kilometres of the coast because it depends on how loud the sound is. And so for these fin whale song, we can see it up to about 5 kilometres from the coast. But we do need to install some additional sensors that are closer to the coast in order to really capture this. However, at a global level, we've looked at all the seismic stations that are available around the world for detecting earthquakes. And there are about 1,700 seismic stations globally that are within 3 kilometres of the coast. So there's a global potential for applying this type of methodology for monitoring whales in the coastal zone, fin whales in particular. The other thing I will say is that the coastal zone is important for these creatures. It can be quite hazardous. They're very sensitive to ship strikes. they're very sensitive to noise pollution and entanglement and fishing gear. So knowing that they're present at any given time could be important in terms of risk mitigation for them as well.
You mentioned noise pollution there. Is it possible to weed out this noise pollution and just to zone in on the fin whales?
Yes, it's possible to do that, mainly just by looking at different pitches of the sound, or frequencies as we'd call it. And so you can filter out the pitches that you're not interested in and kind of zoom in on the bit that's of interest. So we know that they're singing at this particular pitch, and we can zoom in on that pitch. And the other thing is that they have a very regular, simple type of song. So they have these 1 second pulses that kind of, with a little sweep in them. So they kind of go, and there's something like maybe 15, 16 seconds between each one of those little whoops. There is variability in there in populations and so on, but in general, that's the way they sing. Sometimes they get a little bit more interesting and they put in doublets or triplets in there, but they have a very simple song and it's very easy to zone in on that when you just take the data and filter it appropriately.
This is a really new and exciting area of research. Where do you think it can lead to?
I mean, ideally, we would like the biological community to pick this up. We are working in a discipline called geophysics, which is physics of the earth. We are not biologists. So we would like to work with biologists. And we have actually been in touch with the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group. And they've been very supportive of what we're doing in terms of giving us their sighting maps. And we can see that when we hear these sounds, we know that there are sightings on the south coast. So the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group, working with them has been very beneficial. So working with people who know a lot about whales, it's not our main background. Our main background is in physics and mathematics. And maybe integrating this as a new technology for listening to and observing whales.
Thank you, Terry. More details, as always, can be found on our website, rte.ie/Mooney.